I suppose the key thing is, what will Siren Broadcasting do in all sorts of wonderful regimes? That sounds slightly better. Slightly better. I don't. Are we sounding okay to yourself, Anna? I mean, I don't know. These days it seems most peculiar in terms of what we're doing. Now, that seems a lot more. I feel as though I've sort of suddenly resuscitated myself. How are you, Anna Lewis, in London, and whereabouts are you?
Yeah, I'm at home. It's one of those rare occasions you actually find me sitting on the sofa at home.
Wow.
Admiring the Christmas tree that I spent about 3 hours trying to assemble yesterday.
Ah, so you have actually put up the Christmas tree. Let's do the round robin in the studio. Let's find out from Rory. Is it a case of, don't be silly, I'm an undergraduate fretting about my first year at university. I can't be dealing with things called Christmas trees, etc. You can answer the question, Rory. You can hear what I've just said, surely. Yes, that's all I'm asking you to do.
sorry, yeah, Alex.
Don't worry. Yes. Now, you don't have to have headphones on to answer a question. I know it may well seem like that, but honestly...
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, that's okay.
Thank you so much.
Mind you, he does look good with the headphones. It's a sort of posing thing. Anyway, the question still stands. Rory, Christmas trees, do you put them up in the McGowan household, or is it a case of no? In the McGowan household, we follow the issues of Oliver Cromwell and we ban Christmas because it's just far too much fun.
Oh, nothing like Oliver Cromwell. We're always putting up our trees early December because Christmas in our household doesn't start until December does.
Mm-hmm.
And we always get real trees as well. I don't know if that's just my family thing, but we've always, you know, it just is more Christmassy if it's real, I think.
Okay. Dave.
Hello.
You're, in a sense, celebrating Christmas every single day because you are at the new Theatre Royal Lincoln.
I am,
working
indeed,
behind,
yes,
the scenes with the pantomime,
yes,
sorting things out. You've already seen Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs 8 times, I believe.
Something like that,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow, and it hasn't even started.
Snow White,
yet.
Endless repeats, it's great, it's exactly great. Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, yes, it is. Yeah,
please.
Yeah.
So is it a case of in the Walker household, you think, no, we don't do Christmas, we're doing the new Theatre Royal Lincoln?
Well, no, we're sort of celebrating Christmas early. My son's coming home from, he lives away in Newcastle. He's spending Christmas away for the first time this year.
Is he at university?
No. Oh. He finished university a number of years ago, so,
right.
But I'm showing my age there.
Graduate.
He could have been a prodigious child, of course. Well, I suppose, yeah. But no, he's coming home early, so we're celebrating early and on the day as well. So we're going to my daughter's house on Christmas Day. And
frankly, Dave, as I'd say to Ian Lennox, just getting out of Newcastle would be cause for celebration in many ways. So, you know, punch that sky. As Mike Ashley will probably sort of tell when he finally sort of leaves the whole system still at home. What is Kenyon thinking about? Kira, in the joys of Ilkeston. You're already wearing your Christmas top, I see. Bright, sparkling red, ready all sorts of this. So what's your view on the whole Christmas scenario?
I love it. It's amazing. It's the best time of year. But in my house, for Christmas trees, we do them. But unlike Rory, we don't do the real Christmas trees because a few years ago, I used to have a chinchilla and he got lost in the Christmas trees. And we don't know what happened to him, so I'll cut it there.
To use a cliche, Anna... Kira is so much the gift that just keeps on giving. I mean, I thought that she actually would not be able to top her tale about her first ever driving test. She has passed now, of course, but can we share it, please? I mean, you shared it with me when I was actually ferrying you to the... We can do an edited version, please. Are you ready, Anna, for listening to the tale of the first time Kira took her driving test?
I am. Take a breath.
Off you.
Right. Well, basically, it was all normal for the first 10 minutes of the 40.
Mm-hmm.
came up to this roundabout, and there was a huge lorry that was halfway round, and it was clear on my side. So obviously, I went
underneath.
I can't see very well because I'm that small, so
yeah,
I can't really see.
Exactly.
But we started going around the roundabout, and ended up being where I went into the back of the lorry.
Wow!
It braked, and I went straight into the back of the lorry. Sorry, failed, obviously.
Really?
You know, you think I'd pass straight away. My second time, quickly, I had a lorry driver as my examiner instead of a car examiner.
Was that because obviously they were warned, they said?
Yeah, so, look, that girl can't drive, don't pass her. But no, it was because of a manoeuvre, and my instructor got me to do this stupid manoeuvre, which was emergency stop. And
there was an old
woman walking directly behind the car, and he checked to give me the all clear, and I braked, and then basically I didn't go into the woman, obviously, because I'd be in the news and everything. But no, she was walking with like a little cane walking stick thing across the road, and I nearly went into her, and that was apparently my fault when I waited for him to.
And that, Dave, is why Kira is your girl for next year. Scooter production, surely.
Yeah, complete disaster everywhere.
So you passed third time, did you?
Yeah.
So, well, all the best people passed third time.
Yeah, yeah.
I did.
There we are.
There you go.
Sorted. Anna, I mean, again, I take it that's a story which you can share with your family over the Christmas period. You think, I was speaking to one of our midweek drivettes. Rory, we've heard about any chinchillas in your life?
No chinchillas in my household.
Because obviously having live Christmas trees can clearly attract chinchillas.
Yes, so. it just seems to happen everywhere.
Suddenly.
You go to Homebase or any other plant store that sells Christmas trees, and it's just chinchillas running around everywhere.
Other DIY stores are available, of course.
Yes.
And Ben, I mean, does this make Brighton just miles by comparison? It's a case of, right, tip for the whole routine there, driving test, into back of lorry, always good. Elderly, chronologically gifted ladies, possibly targets.
No, well, unfortunately, not unfortunately. Fortunately, I've not actually had an accident yet on my driving lessons.
Good.
22 hours in or 25 hours in, something like that. But, it's all going very well so far, and... you know, who knows whether I'll pass or not.
Of course.
That'll be down to fate, but I'm sure I'll let you know.
We'll find out from Mike Dooley, who's coming up in a few minutes to talk precisely about fate and much, much more. Anna, any questions you'd like to put to any of the quartet that you've listened to so far on the basis of, well, they sound quite interesting?
Yes, I mean, it's interesting about the chinchilla, because where my daughter lives, the house has got one of them. Are they very difficult pets to keep, do you think? I mean, from your experience, are they like rabbits, or are they more like guinea pigs? I'm curious, because I want to get a pet at some stage, and I did go to one of these pet shops and had a look at one, but I wasn't sure whether it was the right thing for me.
I mean, they're very cute. The part squirrel, part rabbit, and I don't know if the part mouse because of the ears, but anyway, my chinchilla called Coco... obviously, we don't know what happened to him. I'm being genuine serious. We assume the worst because of the Christmas tree. We don't. He genuinely went missing. And we moved house afterwards.
They're difficult to lose then rather than
difficult to keep. Keeping them, obviously, they're in a cage. I mean, he was in a huge cage because we didn't let him out often, so that's probably why he went missing. But, I mean, you know, when he was out, he, instead of behaving like a chinchilla, which is usually... they sleep throughout the day and then they do all the activity at night.
Sounds like a student.
No euphemism. But he acted like a dog instead of a chinchilla.
Whoa.
So he didn't woof exactly, but when all the doors were closed and everything and in the hallway and stuff, and he'd run up them and he would like jump and open them,
right,
and he would somehow manage. He pretended he was a dog in many ways. So he had, instead of having like cute little cereal bar things on his cage, he actually ended up having like a little bone, like a little, and he was literally like a dog. He used to dig as well.
Well, there we have it. Are you sure he wasn't a dog?
He may have been a dog in previous. I don't know.
Previous life.
No, yeah. They are very nice animals. Though. They are lovely.
Does that help, Anna? I mean, you know, from a Buddhist perspective, obviously, constant reincarnation.
I like the idea of it being nocturnal, but I don't think it's the right pet for me. So thank you.
They are fluffy, though. They are beautiful to hold.
And if you got a fluffy chinchilla, what more do you ask
for? Good coat.
Yeah. We wouldn't necessarily say you'd skin your chinchilla.
Maybe a Furby would be
fashion.
Good. Yeah, I mean, you could turn that off.
Exactly.
Okay. Ben, would you like to put the last two questions to Anna before we head up to Scotland, please?
Yes. Anna, have you enjoyed your telephonic loop for us today on the show?
Thank you. Yes, I have. I've loved so much.
Good. I'm sure so. And will you be joining us again next week?
I would love to. Thank you for asking.
Thank you.
Everybody comes home for Christmas time. It's a family thing to do. But the weather's been closing in all night. Will it ever stop raining?
Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist, and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
And also mixed with the fizz. And Don't Start Without Me. Well, we wouldn't, Bill. How could we possibly start without William Coles? Let's face it. It's ridiculous. I mean, let's face it. God King Wenceslas and all the rest of it. It's all there. How are you? And how's Scotland? And how's Edinburgh?
I am very chirpy, thank you so much for asking. I have just got in the Christmas tree.
Whoa, you see, this is obviously... Now, in the Coles household, do you have or have you ever considered at any time actually having a chinchilla?
No, I would not want a chinchilla. We've got some goldfish, but chinchillas, no. What's the advantage of having a chinchilla?
Well, I mean, Kerry, you would probably say there aren't any advantages, really.
No,
having, no, it's avoid the chinchilla, even though nice furry coat.
Play a good game of hide and seek.
In the Christmas tree, exactly. Very strange. Goldfish, of course, probably less likely to get caught in Christmas tree, otherwise they suffocate. Because that's what they did. They drown, actually, literally drown in air.
Oh, wow. I suppose you need less stuffing for a chinchilla than you would for a turkey.
Point. That was the voice of Dave Walker. In many ways, we've often used the prefix Scooter Dave, primarily because he is responsible for the awesome event that takes place every July, and next year, 2019, will be July the 13th, at the Brayford Pool on the other side to the university. When Dave, well, share with us, what do you do with all those scooters who come down to actually sort of take part?
Cram as many scooters onto the Brayford as we can, being classic Vespas and Lambrettas and some of the modern stuff as well. But, generally speaking, it's for people to come down, enjoy themselves, park up and pose with their machine. So leave it there for the general public to find out what scootering's all about. And we have dealer stalls and various music on throughout the day and a real party atmosphere for the scooterists and for the general public to mingle alike.
So. Is that the name for a collective noun of scooter followers, scooterists?
Scooterists, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you write your screenplay about scooters, Bill, you know where to actually sort of employ the scooterists in terms of life. Have you ever driven a scooter yourself, Bill?
No, I don't think I've had. I've got my bike test, but not a scooter. No, what's the advantage of a scooter over a motorbike?
Generally speaking, I mean, you'd have a little bit more road protection on a scooter because you've got a fairing usually all the way around you, depending on the style of scooter. But most bikers, if they get on a scooter after having been used to a bike, they fall off it because there's nothing
on either side, right?
In between the legs.
Like Harley Davidson,
yeah,
is it?
Absolutely.
System. No, there's quite literally nothing between your legs, Ben. Yeah. It's
that's not a euphemism. It's, no.
And it's quite traumatic if you ever do a male, you know, different line entirely. Kira's doing a fine job holding the female end up here.
And it's a totally different riding experience, I suppose. Most scooterists can ride a bike, but generally speaking, most bikers can't get the hang of a scooter. Because obviously
you
lean a scooter.
Or not.
Get lots of mods.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people get insulted by being called mods. They were a big part of the scooter phenomenon, without saying it.
I was so close.
A big part of the scooter phenomenon.
I couldn't resist.
Yeah, okay. back in the late 50s and early 60s, and then it sort of died a death throughout the 70s and, you know, morphed into skinheads and suedeheads and even, I think, Wolfie Smith had one in the tooting Popular
Citizen
People's Front
Smith.
And Citizen Smith, yeah. And then there was the revival back in the late 70s with the Quadrophenia thing, and then the sort of mod revival, so... And then it's gone full circle, really, and you get a real eclectic mix of people. So a lot of people would be insulted by being called mods, but they played a big part in the whole culture.
Right. Okay. Do we mind people being insulted? Do we mind insulting people generally? Actually, what's the problem? I mean, people get insulted by a lot of things these days.
Yeah, I suppose.
Including Christmas songs.
Including Christmas songs, yeah.
Session yesterday, with we discussing the anxiety over Fairy Tale of New York, banned, quite rightly so.
It's a bit daft, isn't it? However many years later.
Do They Know It's Christmas, banned again, or should be banned from the point of view of patronising our good friends in Africa. Equally, Ding Dong, Merrily on High, also contestant, or Jingle Bells, I should say.
People have far too much time on their hands, don't they? If you complain about Christmas songs, I mean, really?
Well, you say that.
Why is Jingle Bells being banned?
Because it carries with it connotations of the old Deep South minstrel singers, who, of course, were white people who used to black out for their performance. So I'm sorry, but, you know, from that allusion alone, I'm sorry.
Get me off this planet, honestly.
Strange enough, we have William Shatner singing Christmas songs, which are wonderful.
Well, which songs have we got to be careful? I've
cleared it with William, and we're going to offer a whole range of things when we speak to Larry Namacek about which ones we'll go to. But yes, as promised, at least two William Shatner songs from album. In case you're wondering which album this is, recently been released, William, and it's called Shatner Claus.
All right. Have you got anything by Leonard Nimoy to go with it? Because he had a few albums.
He did indeed. And obviously his Bilbo Baggins is something which is legendary, as indeed is If I Had a Hammer. But I think now we're celebrating the joys of Shatner Claus, the album, recently released, with some unique interpretations. So who knows? Mike Dooley in Mexico might actually select one of them. We'll just wait and see on that basis.
Maybe Leonard Nimoy could do Live Long and Prosperous New Year. Okay. Tumbleweed.
That's
I liked it.
Yeah, clearly it's the way in which that impact on the New Theatre Royal that sort of connects in so many ways.
Oh, no, it isn't.
It is. Will you be seeing any pantomimes up in Edinburgh, Bill, or is it a case of... No, we don't do pantomimes in the cold.
They've got a few panties up here. But my kids have gone on strike, and they we don't want any more pantos. We'd rather go to the cinema.
Right. Well, right.
It's a lot cheaper as well.
You've got obviously Mary Poppins, and you've got Aquaman to actually connect from that point of view. So,
Aquaman is the one they're after.
Yeah, I think so. It's a good choice. Good choice. But still, you can't beat the live theatre experience, as indeed various Midweek Drivettes will find out. Rory, are you around on Friday? We might offer you a ticket, actually, because everybody else seems to be sort of out of the whole system, including myself. Really, it's just by the by. We'll just do it. How if I say the words Blue Peter presenter called Barney, does that mean anything to you at all?
It does mean a lot to me. I saw him turn on the lights here at the Lincoln Christmas light switch on earlier this month. Right. Well, no, last month. And I got a photo of him. No, big fan. And if you want to offer me tickets, Alex, I am glad to go.
Okay, we'll negotiate it. We'll sort it through. You may well be receiving an email in the next 24 hours, Rory. I should say no more. Okay? I mean, obviously, you will have to be Kira for the night, because Kira sadly can't make it. So lots of chinchilla.
Just be on your hands and knees and looking for a chinchilla.
Yes, I will do that. Yes.
That will be what we'll be looking for. And now, Kira, would you like to put those last two questions to Bill Coles in Edinburgh? Because next week he is going to be one of our official celebrity judges when we have not one, not two, five brand spanking new Christmas tunes that we'll be voting on. It's an annual thing, a competitive sort of thing as well. We've also got a choir in the studio too. So much excitement. Take it away, please.
Okay. Well, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Oh, I've loved it. Thank you so much for asking.
Like a touch of Will there. Not Bill, but Will.
It's William Cole.
Exactly.
William,
yeah, exactly. Very nice.
Hey, I'm versatile. I even answer the Billykin sometimes.
Billykin. Oh, that's such a cute pet name. And will you be joining us again sometime next week?
Yeah, I greatly look forward to it. I mean, the Carol sing-off, yes, is right up my strata.
It's pretty awesome. And, of course, it's not just it's the entire Coles household who could have somebody's career, quite literally, in the palm of their critical hands. Just a little bit sad. I was feeling so empty until you came back. Until you came back. Until you came. Solely. Middle of the road, oh, way back in the day. And now we move to the awesome land that is Mexico, and we speak to the awesome soul that is Mike Dooley. Welcome, Mike. How are you?
I'm happy, Alex. Happy holidays to everybody in your listening audience.
Oh, exactly. Well, as we said, even though we're connecting with you in the side of Mexico, which is closest to the Pacific, where you're actually in Manzanillo. Is that Manzanillo? Manzanillo.
Exactamente, yeah, Manzanillo.
Fantastic, and doing all manner of things. Now, another fantastic year has been developed by, obviously, all adventurers in the Adventurers Club, of course. New York Times best-selling author of Infinite Possibilities. I'm holding in my hand, left hand, confirmed by the audience as well, Life on Earth, Understanding Who We Are, How We Got Here, and What May Lie Ahead. And it's almost a kind of like a Notes for the Universe package for inspiration and various other bits and pieces. And in a world in which we're kind of constantly faced with challenging, difficult news, etc., isn't it fair to say, Mike, that ultimately we're creating it ourselves, so we need to enjoy it whilst it's there?
It is very fair, and albeit borderline offensive, because it's much easier to take the route that, you know, I'm just here witnessing what all of you crazies are doing, and I think there should be more unity and more love, and it's not my fault. But we're all part of the creation of life on Earth that we see in a deeper way than the physical senses will ever reveal. We are creators, God particles, I teach, that literally affect the weather, affect social harmony, make political decisions by more than just our vote. We are nonstop creators.
which is very much at the heart of TUT, the universe today, the Adventurers Club. Life is magical, where powerful dreams really do come true. When we actually are faced with the notion of challenges and such like, I mean, Ben Lewis, I mean, you've had one or two challenges, and I've always said, be positive about this whole side of things. What are your views on this whole notion of staying focused and looking at the whole sort of aspect? And I look at 31 worthwhile New Year's resolutions for 2019 from Tut.com, which is well worth thinking about. Anyway, Ben.
I certainly agree with you in that regard. And I think there's lots of ways people look to be inspired, whether that be obviously looking at icons, people they look up to, or positions they want to be in. Now, it's a case of obviously it depends whether that's career-wise, family-wise, or, you know, but kind of it's allocated by their dreams. And I think people really need to focus on what they want to get from it as opposed to what they want other people to see they're getting from it. So I think really people... I mean, personally, looking up at where I want to be in life and what I want to do, I'm always focusing on the path I need to follow next and what I need to do to get to that next hurdle. So it's a step each time.
You see, you raise that, Ben, but you have to be very careful, and I'm sure Mike will attest to this, of the cursed house. Those cursed house, those little devils that start sort of saying, yeah, but what if I'm not good enough? What if you don't compare yourself, do the best you can and go from there, would be my advice. Mike, I don't know whether... I mean, we kind of first...
Yeah, I'd say exactly the same as what Alex just said. And the idea here... in all of my teachings, is that, you know, while we are creators of the good, the bad, the ugly, and our challenges, the bright side is blinding. It's all things are possible. We can make our dreams come true, and it boils down to what we focus on in terms of our dream, the end result. And what Alex is rightly speaking to is, it's not our ability to dictate how a dream will come true. If you dream of being a... you know, wealthy, if you dream of being in love, if you dream of healing, those are all excellent end results. So think those thoughts. Imagine that you're already living in the life of Riley, the lap of luxury. Imagine that you're already wildly in love. Don't try to dictate to life how those big dreams will come true. Don't say, well, this book will become a bestseller and Alex will interview me and everybody will buy it and then Trixie or Roxanne will fall deeply in love with me. And then, you know, if we try to micromanage our successes, we have hit or miss breakthroughs. And those misses are too big and too painful to mess with. Instead, try this, try that. You still have to do things, and each of those things could potentially be a how. But the thing that makes them cursed is when you insist, it must be my book, it must be Trixie, it must be this new diet, it must be my stock portfolio or Acme company in the corner office. When you start insisting on the mechanism through which your dream will come true, then you're on thin ice.
Kira, what are your thoughts on what we've just been chanting around and discussing, etc.? Does it resonate with your good self? First year student here reading public relations for the first time at the University of Lincoln?
No, I think it does. It does have, like, you know, an end result at the end of it, like with what Mike's trying to say. But what I want to know more is, like, how, because loads of people wonder in life, like, how they can make their life happy and well fulfilled and things. So, what would you advise those people?
What would I advise?
Yeah,
being happy?
Yeah, and being happy, because loads of people, you know, don't...
They don't choose to be happy. They should choose
they don't,
to be happy.
They see the end result, they try and make hurdles in the way so they don't achieve that result. So how would you say, you know, you can just banish all of that and just have a happy life?
Yeah, perfect question. I think it's the bane of our existence that we want instant gratification, and if we want something, that means we don't have it, and we think we therefore have cause to be unhappy. It is quite possible to have big, daring, bold dreams of opulence, laughter, health, great relationships, and be happy before those big dreams come true, which will make those big dreams come true even faster. We all have already succeeded in many areas of our life, and we too often ignore those because we still see the big mountain in front of us and the big dream that's not yet come true,
And we feel incomplete because of that and don't give ourselves permission to be happiness. So as they say, fake it until you make it. If you have to, pretend you're happy. If you have to, focus on what's good. Do what you can towards moving towards your dreams. But by all means, today, enjoy the abundance levels you have, because everybody listening has some degree of discretionary spending. Enjoy the friendships that you've already worked hard to accumulate in your life. And enjoy the health that you already have, the body you already have. Really, there's no shortage of splendors, and there's always more reasons to be happy than unhappy. Yet, too often, we don't give ourselves permission for that. And so what I'm saying is have big dreams, but don't put off your happiness for their coming true. Be happy now as you move in who you already are, and they will come true faster.
And live in the moment. Rory.
So if I want to live in the moment, does that not take away from working towards the goals that you've set yourself?
No, because living in the moment means dealing with whatever is on your plate. So living in the moment means driving to work and smiling at passers-by or in the subway. It means being your best at work, showing up 10 minutes early, stay 10 minutes late, say yes to the assignments. You know, that right away puts you in the top 1% of all employees. You're going to start shining, and everybody's going to want some of that, and you're going to be the first person to get promotions. So by being in the present moment, that doesn't mean you abdicate the rudder on the ship of your dreams. You still have a plan. You're still going to show up, knock on doors, ask for help, get the education that's stipulated, go to the dating website, do these things with a glad heart. So as they say, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water.
Indeed.
After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. But if you can, you know, life isn't going to change. You're always going to have unfulfilled dreams. Even when your biggest dreams come true, on that day, there will be bigger dreams. And that's not a bad thing. That's the sign of divinity within us eternally expanding. There's nothing wrong with having big dreams, even if they're material dreams. It's only when we put off our happiness for their manifestation. So be happy now. Try your course. Do things about your dreams. But be happy even though they haven't yet come true, because the rest of your life you will have unmanifested dreams, which will one day come true to be replaced by other unmanifested dreams.
And actually, it does work in so many ways. As indeed, Mike, I remember the time when we finally met in person in the elevator, or lift if you're British, in the Etihad Stadium at Manchester. And we went through that, and we were saying then that was before the first title win. And look what's happened to Man City since then, just success after success. It's just one example there. Before we actually go and consider a little bit of the delights of Manzanillo, and some of the sort of facts that are actually there, I have William Shatner lined up at present with his unique interpretation from his recently released album, Shatner Claus. See what I did there? Shatner Claus, obviously. Feliz Navidad. Uh-huh. Now, I appreciate, Mike, that this could actually prove the whole range of the bizarre nature of the universe, but would you be kind enough to give us your critical overview of, indeed, Captain Kirk T.J. Hooker himself, with his first little rendition of Feliz Navidad? Are you ready for this, Mike Dooley?
Indeed. Go ahead.
Here it comes.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna Yes, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. No, really, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. No, really. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Hey, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom.
Hi, this is Mike Dooley from Tut.com. I'm thrilled to be in the UK. And I'm thrilled to be part of the midweek drive on Siren FM.
And, of course, you are in the UK, telephonically speaking, of course. Mike, the great William Shatner there. I mean, have you recovered? Because I can appreciate it could be an awesome sort of experience just hearing his incarnations there.
Well, that was very powerful. I didn't know he could sing, and I still don't know if he can sing, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, there you go. So, from the facts and the delights of Manzanillo, it's in the Mexican state of Colima, located on the Pacific Ocean, and apparently, yep. Mike, it's also the sailfish capital of the world. Since 1957, it's hosted important national and international fishing competitions, such as the Dorsey Tournament, so a good fishing setup there. And what takes you to Manzanillo today?
Well, I had the great fortune 10 years ago, almost exactly, of meeting a Mexican señorita who became my wife, and she is from this area, so we are spending the month with her family, and our daughter, of course, she's 4.5 years old.
I can't believe that.
Completely fluent in Spanish, so she's already, she's playing with her cousins, and she's in preschool, and she's having a blast here, so we're spending more and more time here in Mexico and, of course, in Manzanillo, which is absolutely spectacular place. It's on the Pacific Ocean. It's surrounded by mountains, very, very tropical.
And that's the message of life in the universe. And, of course, unlike when you're in Florida, of course, it's you get an extra hour. So it's great, you know, Pacific time, all sorts of things. Quickly over to Dave. Dave, you've been listening to what Mike's been sharing with us, and unlike the fellow midweek drivers, apart from myself, really, we're kind of more chronologically gifted. We've kind of seen like a fair side of a century between the two of us, really.
Absolutely.
100 years. Unbelievable. Yeah. So what questions or things would you put to Mike? Because you've just taken a life decision yourself, really.
I have, yeah. I gave up work probably 3 or 4 weeks ago for a job that I was doing but wasn't necessarily within my comfort zone, wasn't necessarily enjoying it. So I thought, do you know what, I'll go and find something else to do. So that's what I'm doing. And I've ended up helping out, doing something that I am more comfortable with, which is helping out at the Theatre Royal, the new Theatre Royal in Lincoln.
The new Theatre Royal in Lincoln.
For their pantomime. Thoroughly enjoying that. Being welcomed as a part of the theatre family, which is great, and living for today.
Yeah. It's almost as though he...
You're a great example of living on your terms.
Absolutely. Is there another way?
Authentic living, I think, is the phrase. Yeah.
No, even if we think we're not, we are. Even if we abdicate our power, that's exercising our power.
And
so
in,
well done.
Taking control, that's what I call it.
In terms of the universe, thoughts become things, touch.com, and some of the thoughts of Claire Perkins. She's actually given 31 worthwhile New Year's resolutions. I'd actually say number 5, stop worrying needlessly. It doesn't take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. And also, smile more. It brightens up your day, other people's days, and, of course, your face.
And worries people.
Yeah. Be kind to yourself and others, whether they're friends, family, or complete strangers. Kindness goes a long way and has a pay it forward action. See, I feel Christmas is starting now. But then it should be Christmas every day with the Midweek Drive. That's importantly. We're going to find out more about the scooter phenomenon that's taking place on July 13th, 2019. Mike, very briefly, anything you'd like to plug in terms of 2019 as far as the Adventurers Club is concerned when you're going global? Well, you've already gone global, but you're going all over the world.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah, actually, I'm going to be in London, I believe, on April 14th. Details are at my website. I'm going to be hosting a day-long workshop with Ireland's Lorna Byrne, the lady who wrote the smashing debut book called Angels in My Hair. And she and I have now toured about 10 cities between Dublin and all of North America. Well, there's still a long way to go, but we've done Dublin and we've done 9 other cities. And London will be the next one, April, all day long. Tut.com or Lorna Byrne's website, you can Google her, and we'll talk about how to use all of your angels in life and love.
It's quite frankly, in fact, I've already got a sequel lined up for you, Mike. It's been inspired, I've been inspired to do so literally at this very show, to the Angels in Your Hair, Angels in My Hair line. We can actually have a sequel, which is Chinchillas in My Christmas Tree. Okay? So it sounds a bit metaphysical, but I think Angels in My Hair, Chinchillas in My Christmas Tree, that's another sort of line we'll be working through. Mike, has it been a reasonably interesting telephonic link for yourself today? Has it been good for you from Mexico connecting with us here in Lincoln, England?
It has been fabulous. The best ever, I'm sure.
Well, everyone. So are you back again? Let's not leave it for several months. Will you be back with us hopefully in January? Can we connect with you then?
I look forward to it. Absolutely. Alex, thanks for this opportunity to talk and share.
Round of applause for Mike Dooley, please. Tut.com. And as we say, happy trails, Jambo. Farewell to Mike Dooley. We say a happy, hearty hello and welcome to the Siren News Bulletin, because it is 5:45, time for the Siren News. Fantastic. And now for people who like scooters the world over. Excellent. Prowse and Ivy, the Lambrettas. You're going to need an ocean of chamomile lotion or something. And really kind of a connection there with versatile Dave Walker, because you're a big fan of the Lambretta. That's the only one we actually had immediately to hand, really.
So. All right, okay. Well, I'll accept that. That's good. That's
well, they'll get by their 0.001 pence for actually having it played. So
well, that's good.
Every little helps.
Indeed.
As a catchphrase would go. Do you know, Ben, yesterday I was taking him in a tutorial thing wearing various other bits and pieces, and I threw out a range of catchphrases. They got most of them, but they didn't get "good things come to those who wait." I was waiting for them to come back to me at the end. Nothing. It's just nothing, etc. But any ideas yet? Have you sorted it out?
No.
Unbelievable. Perhaps on the other hand, it could be seen as a positivity, because actually, as you well know, Dave, because I know you're well aware of that, it was the catchphrase used by Guinness.
It was.
Good things come to those who wait.
I was too young for that.
And do we know why it was the catchphrase used by Guinness?
Because when you pour a Guinness, it takes ages for the brown to
settle. Exactly. Exactly.
The penguins, is it?
No, that's a biscuit. That's something completely different.
Flips to the
that's papa in all sorts of other areas. Which
so another one, I suppose, in the case of Kira, would be nice things coming small packages.
Yeah.
Chinchilla.
we'll see what happens. Still to come on the programme, we've got Luke Corradine, hopefully somewhere in France, although he is Italian, talking about his recent exploits in film studies and various other bits and pieces as well. He's a film composer. Larry Nemechek will be joining us from Los Angeles, as indeed will Phil Leonis, and that will be guiding us through the next few moments in the programme, together with, of course, news as promised about Dave's fantastic scooter event. Next one, of course, is July 13th. This was a fundraiser, of course, Dave, last year.
It was, and it is every year, really. We do it in the name of charity. It's a self-funding event, so we do get sponsorship from the Holiday Inn, which we base the event in and around the Holiday Inn. They're very good to us. But we, generally speaking, raise money for the Lincolnshire Integrated Voluntary Emergency Services
Lives.
They're very good to us. We've got a very good relationship with them. They provide us with first aid. We provide them with funding for from the event.
Over £400, I guess.
Just over £400 we raised this year for them. We presented them with a cheque back in late August, I believe.
Literally saving lives and money.
Literally saving money lives and lives. And money. Yeah.
How much do you reckon you've managed to raise over the years?
Very good question. The first ever year we did anything. I mean, this is we're probably on our seventh or eighth year, I think. This year with the big scooter event, this whole thing started with just a ride out through Lincoln where we had 14 scooters turn up. And we did it for Great Ormond Street Hospital, and we raised something like £35. The next year, word had got round, and we had like 140 scooters riding through Lincoln. And then we were approached by Lincoln Business Improvement Group to put on an event on the Brayford to coincide with a national rally that was happening in Lincoln, which it sort of morphed from there, really. How much have we raised over the years? That's a very good question. I've never really added it up. We're just happy with our lot that we can raise sort of a few hundred pounds and have a good time doing it.
And is it worthwhile? Because obviously Ben sticks around to look after the thing, and he again, where else he's got to go? Brighton, possibly.
In fact, I was doing it. You know, last year I was this year rather. I was
coordinating
it from working
crew.
In London. I was working in London over summer and commuting on the train, doing the press releases.
So that was great.
Helping out.
Great.
So. No, multitasking is
so
fine.
Is it worth Kira making that shift from Ilkeston, where obviously her heart is in Little Ilkeston, or indeed Rory coming up all the way from Bedfordshire to actually sort of?
Well, I'm sure they have scooters in Ilkeston and Bedford, but to that amount, all in one place, all at the same time, in the sunshine and in Lincoln. Come on!
Unbelievable. The Monkees have released a new album. Here it is.
Waiting. Christmas. You are the gift for me. I can't wait to wrap you a Christmas under the Christmas tree.
Lenz, Peter Tork, and Mike Nesmith. And yes, don't worry, even Davy Jones appears. I know they've used the magic of time travel and such like to actually get him on the album as well. The Monkees, their first ever Christmas album. Well, it's taken 50 years, but they made it and they got there, and it's standing up there with, of course, Shatner Claus, which we'll also be hearing from. And these are not to be put out for a competition because, frankly, they've already transcended the joys of music. And Luke Corradine, our Italian composer living just outside Cannes. Bonjour. How are you?
Ça va.
Ça va. Yes.
All good, Alex. It's a pleasure to be on the show, as always.
Well, I feel as though, having just come from Mexico, where we were speaking to Mike Dooley, who is over in the Pacific area of Mexico, it's only right to actually swing past to your good self, who is obviously on the west coast of France, looking towards the Atlantic Ocean from that point of view, or not too far away. When last we spoke, Luke, we were talking about possibly covering MIPCOM, and the response was, from your good self, super intense. I'll say that again, super intense. Now, for the benefit of our fine folk in the studio, who are comprised of Ben Lewis, Kira Allsbrook, Dave Walker, and Rory McGowan, how would you define a super intense televisual festival at Cannes called MIPCON?
Well, I would say that something along the lines of 8 hours of back-to-back interviews and potentially one or two interesting deal or business opportunities per day for about 6 or 7 days, that's intense. Yeah. It's not as intense as perhaps the Cannes Film Festival, which goes on for, in my case, approximately 3 weeks. That's insane. But it's intense, nevertheless. So, yeah, very, very interesting.
You got your public relations people, you got your journalists, you got your composers, you got your directors, you got your movie makers, you got your whole thing, all chasing the dream. And you've also got Argentinian director friends who stay over as well. It's just amazing. Highlights from yourself? I mean, obviously, you may not be able to talk about any of the highlights because they may not have manifested as yet. But in terms of looking back over the 2018 MIPCON scenario, did you feel it kind of keeps the standards of previous festivals?
Well, MIPCON is a TV orientated market, so it's very different from Cannes, the famous Cannes Film Festival, which is not just film, but it's truly a rendezvous, a gathering of really all the artists that are correlated in different ways to the film industry. So you get cinematographers, actors, and a whole lot. But MIPCON is very specific. So The interviews that I was, as you know, I have a company here, and we deal not just in music. We also have a distribution arm via my partner. We also do productions, film and TV productions, or series rather, proper. So the meetings I was taking at MidCom were specific for the series side of things. So we were selling a couple of titles, a drama series, and
it was quite literally
happened, right?
Quite literally, Luke.
Yes,
serious series.
Serious.
Your name was
If I'm getting the spell right of what you say.
Exactly. Or a series of series. At least it's not a series of serials, in which case you could be into breakfast territory,
exactly.
And who knows what could happen, but still. Your name was mentioned awesomely, of course, recently when we were fortunate enough, that's Ben and myself, and some of the other Midweek Drives, I'm not sure, Kira, whether you're on the show, where we actually went to speak to Ilana Rain, of course, and her recent movie, which I obviously featured music by your good self.
Yes, that's a beautiful little independent film that she's put together, and I really look forward for that to be distributed. I think she had a very successful premiere in Hollywood. So
absolutely. Yeah, you see, the thing that shocked us was, did she not actually shell out for all expenses paid Learjet to actually get you over from Cannes to actually fly over? Because she didn't do it for us. But I thought, well, fair enough. We'll take the hit, assuming that Luke actually goes.
Disappointed. And I didn't. So I was let down.
Oh, well. Good news is we've got a William Shatner piece of music coming up shortly, so you'll be able to hear from the Captain Kirk himself and get a full composer's view on the sort of incarnation. I think it's fair to say the line that Mike Dooley used, which was he didn't realise William Shatner could sing and is still isn't quite sure after listening to Feliz Navidad, was quite interesting. It's quite sort of well balanced on that sort of. But before we actually provide your good self with a choice, Luke, of which particular track from Shatner Claus, genius, Shatner Claus, we're going to be listening to, I'm going to open it up to the team and say, Rory, have you got any questions you want to put to Luke Corradine, who you can also locate on IMDb, which was one of the reasons you scored very highly on a presentation today.
Oh, thank you very much, Alex. So, hi, Luke. Can you tell us more about how long is it MIPCON? Mm-hmm. MIPCON has been running, and how have you seen the kind of evolution of it develop through the years?
Well, let me just start by saying I'm not a MIPCON specialist as such. I think this is my third or so, and I believe they've been going on for something like 20, 25 years, and I could totally be out of the mark.
You're pretty right, big confident in your answer, Luke. That's okay. It's fine.
Okay, perfect. But the evolution, that's an interesting case, because I can definitely transfer or pass on to you what others have told me. And the fact of the matter is, sadly, MIPCON have very high fees. I think the full ticket for an exhibitor is 1,500 or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people a lot of businesses have migrated to MIPTV, which is in March, but also to other festivals that have really sprouts everywhere. There's one in Budapest, which takes place in September, I think. There's one in Cannes themselves. They've started their own serious festival this year, the first in March or April, I believe. And there's one in Spain, which takes place in the north in May. So there are a lot of other alternatives if you are a medium-sized or small-sized production company to go to MIPCON. So that's as far as I've heard from operators that have been attending for much longer time than I have.
Quite bizarrely, in a world in which we're told everything's connected via the web, and here we are connecting with your good self from just outside Cannes to Lincoln, England, there's still something kind of unique about that personal contact and actually making those contacts and connections at events like these festivals and so on. So presumably it's still very much key to the business.
They are, 100%. I wouldn't substitute face-to-face
Skype enhanced by Oculus Rift virtual reality, perhaps.
future.
A futuristic fad. Dave, anything you'd like to add to what you've been listening to in terms of questions for film composer, award-winning film composer, Luc Carradine?
Luc, buongiorno.
Oh, nice. It's there. Summer. Very good. Yeah.
How are you?
Into the Italian straight away.
Good, good, good. Thank you. So, being from Italy, what part of Italy are you from originally?
Trieste, the north of Venice, just on the border, an old Austro-Hungarian city that just sits right on the edge of the of that little corner there in the Adriatic.
So that's brilliant. Thank you. I know the answer. I know most Italians would answer this question in a certain way, but being a scooterist, Vespa or Lambretta?
Critical question. This could be no pressure, Luke. But your response to this could actually sort of determine your future for the next 20 years. Okay.
I'm afraid Lambretta.
that's unusual for an Italian. That really is unusual for an Italian. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a very unusual Italian.
Well, so, there we go.
I thought you was French for the last 10 years, so it's understandable. You know, that's how unusual it is. You know, it's a very, Luc Carradine goes Lambretta as opposed to Vespa.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, that's good. That's good.
Well, that's brought us neatly round, Luke, to the William Shatner choice. I'm going to give you two pieces of music by the man from, of course, his latest recently released album. You can get this indeed in France, Shatner Claus. You can actually hear him sing Run, Rudolph, Run or White Christmas. What are you going to go for? Run, Rudolph, Run or White Christmas? It's entirely up to yourself.
The latter, for sure.
You're going to go White Christmas?
Yes.
Right, I think we need to do breath for this one. I mean, I just want to sort of prep people, because obviously I have listened. In fact, actually, this got me home to Middlesbrough after the last Open Day. Just listening to this, I thought...
It wasn't December then, was it?
Yeah, but I felt... Planning for the programme actually starts at least a year beforehand, Rory. You should know on that basis. You know, the rehearsals, all the rest of the bits and pieces. 2:06. Stay with us, Luke. We would value your input as a composer to William Shatner with his unique incarnation of the Irving Berlin classic, of course, White Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, yeah. Just like the ones I used to know. Oh, yeah. With the treetops glisten. And children. Listen. To hear sleigh bells in the snow. I used to know. Oh, honey, with the treetops glisten. And children, listen. To hear sleigh bells in the snow. Hey, shut up, you guys, will you? Let me have my moment here. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. May your days be merry and bright.
Awesome. Luke, I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but clearly I just moved beyond words between that. Shut up, guys. Remember White Christmas. Those of us who can remember his incarnation of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and other Shatner classics that he's brought us over the years are quite unique. But ultimately, we come to you, Luke, as compared. Rory's actually said this could be as significant a response in terms of your choice of Lambretta as opposed to Vespa in terms of weight. But will you be signing up William Shatner for the Luc Carradine musical?
Yes, I would. I mean, sadly, because of the telephone line, I was missing on the deep, throaty tones that I was sort of guessing or
Those deep, throaty tones. It's like Watergate all over again. You know, it's amazing.
Yes, yeah. No, but I was loving it. I would definitely sign the whole setup to my newly established record label. Yeah, definitely.
There you are. Bill, if you're listening, congratulations. You've got the seal of approval from Luke Carradine, and I think that's about his sixth album he's produced so far. So, I've actually got four of them. So, big Shatner fan, really. Acquired taste, Ben.
It's probably the most polite way of saying acquired taste, I guess, isn't it, really? It's
like... Kira, you don't really want to comment, do you?
No, not really.
Kira comes very quiet on the whole. So, Rory, can you start having that now? Yeah.
Dave, you got any thoughts?
Beam me up, Scotty.
This is from a man who insists he's going to actually make it to the centenary, another 10 or 11 years to actually go, so... Good going, Will. That's the important thing. William Shatner, awesome stuff there. Actually, Luke, are there any actors that you've ever sort of felt, yeah, I mean, much as Meryl Streep shocked the world, as indeed did Pierce Brosnan in Mamma Mia, that you sort of considered, yeah, actually, I'd quite like to get them singing.
Sorry, did I hear Pierce Brosnan in Mamma Mia?
Yes.
Because the line is quite bad.
Oh, right.
You're going to have to repackage
again. In your career,
repackage it.
Are there any particular actors that you've ever considered actually saying, a bit like Rex Harrison did in the Dr. Dolittle, and indeed a number of other sort of things, including My Fair Lady, getting actors to, because many people have actually forgotten. In fact, I think there's probably only Dave and myself in the studio who remember the absolutely amazing vocals that Telly Savalas did a few years ago.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah,
that would have been spectacular.
Who Loves You, Baby? Amazing. But sadly, Telly is no longer.
So the question is, would I consider them for what? Specifically,
well, working with you and actually saying I'd like
on a Christmas film,
yes,
specifically,
Christmas movie or anything really.
Well, if I could resuscitate, since you've mentioned My Fair Lady, if I could resuscitate Rex Harrison, I could do with that.
Right.
But I think Alex Baldwin on the could make a very interesting character for a Christmas film, which I'm sure he's done plenty of.
Good choice.
But
if I
could do with him, I could do with him, certainly.
Yeah.
I did a film with his brother, Stephen, which you know.
Of course.
The director. And they're wonderful actors, all of them.
Yeah. And let's hope they can translate their singing talents as well. We could have the Baldwin brothers. And it could open up
Baldwin Brothers.
In fact, you could call it that. It's the Baldwin Brothers. We can actually do it. In fact, I have a title for you, Luke, as well, for your Christmas movie, because I'm determined that you're going to produce something which is going to be the equivalent to It's a Wonderful Life and Miracle on 32nd Street. It will be My Chinchillas Lost in a Christmas Tree. Okay?
that's wonderful.
Yeah?
That's a wonderful title. Is it royalty free, that one,
We're in negotiations with the original owner of the chinchilla, but it's going to be partially autobiographical and partially family tragic. I've obviously got a sort of view. I'm thinking maybe Eddie Murphy is the voice of the chinchilla, because I feel he's got the right kind of attitude for the whole system. Who knows? Maybe actually William Shatner is as the paternal father. You know, as you would be if you were paternal, obviously father. Anyway. But it's the things there. It's being offered to you first, Luke. We'd probably offer it to a number of other people who'll be expressing interest, but I just feel it's only right we gave you that offer to sort of...
Brilliant.
It's good stuff there. Freeform, Ben, any questions you want to put to Luke about life or indeed the Berlin Ale Festival he's talking about doing in February?
Go on, let's hear a bit more about the Berlin Ale Festival.
Well, the Berlin Ale Festival is divided in its two sides of it. The festival proper, which screens film from all over the world, and it's very highly regarded, and the European film market, which features back-to-back at a different location, but very close by, which is specifically a market, an industry market. So this is a market I've been going to for many years, actually probably 11 or 12 or maybe more, and I love it. It's possibly, to me, the finest in the world, because it doesn't have none of the, let's say, touristic distractions of Cannes, which is the largest in the world. But it's also, because it takes place during the winter, the temperature, which usually is very cold, it helps it being very focused and very tight, and it's very down to business. You get to meet a lot of people, but most importantly, I would say the vast majority are serious operators. So you don't get the exactly what I was mentioning earlier about Cannes, which is the all that sort of community of artists that are attracted or come to Cannes for the festival. You just get producers, some actors, distributors, sales guys, and that's about it. So for me, it's always been very good for business, and I love it. So this year we're going under the umbrella of media, which are a large entity in the film world in Europe, and they're going to host us there under their umbrella, as they call it, and we'll be a great market. I think it would be fantastic for us this year. I can't wait.
And yet, curiously, very little ale, even though it's called the Berlin Ale Festival. Sorry, I resisted. See what I did there? Yeah, I know. You think it's going to be another...
royalty-free as well?
Exactly.
Can I use that?
Yeah, of course. Feel free. You know, Oktoberfest, you're going to get into the whole Bavarian mood. You go off to Berlin and say, where's the beer? It's the Berlin Ale Festival. Luke, as ever, it's been a delight. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephone link with us today?
Yes, if we don't speak, have a great Christmas.
Well, exactly. I mean, happy holidays to be politically correct, because we don't want to offend anybody at this particular stage. And let's face it, there are trends that will be opening up in all sorts of ways. So I take it then we will be back with you in 2019 for our latest incarnation and series of Midweek Drives. You will return?
I will, indeed.
By as we all know, naturally, people come and people go, naturally. Let's be natural. We'll be right back.
I don't know. I really don't know what William Shatner tune Larry's going to actually choose. I mean, clearly after the response that Feliz Navidad had and then White Christmas, which I think, to be fair, was probably mixed in the studio, Dave. I mean, it was a mixed response for White Christmas.
It was. Yeah. Definitely mixed. Definitely
yeah,
mixed.
I mean, we could be all talking about Star Trek Discovery, but no, I mean, the bottom line is if you've got Dr. Trek online, you have to say, what about William's latest album, Shatner Claws? I mean, Larry, you know, this is just genius personified. Come now.
That's what they tell me. I haven't given it a listen.
Really? Dr. Trek has not listened to Shatner Claws. Wow.
Yeah, Dr. Trek knows that there's a lot of Trek out there besides Shatner Claws.
Well, yeah, but this is authentic, hardcore, original series Trek. This is space, the final frontier. This is classic scenarios here. It's fair to say, I mean, just giving you a descriptor, Larry, of the team in the studio so far. I think Kira has almost been on the point of being physically sick when we've played the William Shatner sort of music so far. She's been looking a bit pasty, a bit peaky. You know, she's kind of, maybe it's the red outfit she's sort of wearing. Yeah, red, security, alert, alert. We don't know.
I watch Star Trek and I get that joke.
There you go. But, you know, she's, or maybe it was a case of we kind of have been regaling her tales times past from previous examinations she's been having whilst driving her car and losing chinchillas, etc. It's all become a bit, you know. Ben has been quite blunt and basically thought it was rubbish. Rory, I think, has basically passed.
I always pass it on to Dave. Yes.
And Dave simply said, beam me up, you know. So, you know, it's, you know, cliched, but, you know, shall we jump into this straight away before we start talking Star Trek Discovery, etc.? Because I think we need really to hear Dr. Trek's view on William Shatner's latest album, available now, recently released, literally a week ago. I was first in the queue to get it, anyway. The opportunity.
Anyone in the queue?
There's a queue of one. Yeah.
the opportunities are Blue Christmas or Jingle Bells. Which one would you like to go for, please, Larry? Blue Christmas.
I have to hear his Blue Christmas.
Yeah. Okay. So, as selected by Doctor. In fact, would you?
I might have a Blue Christmas.
Actually, Larry, would you like to channel your inner Doctor McCoy here and introduce William Shatner singing Blue Christmas? So, over to you, please. The world is waiting.
Well, I'm a doctor, not a singer, but now here's my friend, Bill Shatner, with Blue Christmas.
You know, that was author. I think he basically said, I'm a doctor, not a music critic. It's all good.
Wow, this storm is never going to end. Oh, man, the snow is piling up. We're stuck here. We're stuck at... Hey, is that Brad Paisley? Yeah, that's Brad Paisley. He's stuck here, too. I'll have a blue Christmas. Without you, I'll be so blue, just thinking about you.
Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree.
It won't be the same, dear, if you're not here. When those blue snowflakes start falling,
that's when those blue memories start calling. You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white.
Give me another one. We're stuck. It's gonna be a bad Christmas. You know what? It's gonna be a blue Christmas.
Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree.
It won't be the same. if you're not here with me. And when those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling. Pink stuff with Brad Paisley. It's not so bad.
Well, not so bad being stuck with Brad Paisley. You can break into Blue Christmas. Larry, have you had to have a lie down, or was it just a case of, well, awesome?
Well, you know, they have this oozes that they're finished. They did an album together,
so. Yes, exactly. So, you know, you're sounding a little bit off planet today, Larry. So I don't know if we can get closer to the telephone system, but you definitely sound as though you're calling from a different dimension.
Oh, sorry.
That's
I'll try to do better. Okay.
Exactly.
I'm shielding the phone. Right.
Yeah, that's okay.
Stone knives and bearskins and do a little better here.
I see what you did there. Nice little reference to the classic episode of Star Trek, of course, which if you haven't seen it and you want to actually give yourself a treat over Christmas, use one of those downloadable devices to actually go to City on the Edge of Forever. And you will find the line, I am attempting to put together a mnemonic memory circuit using stone knives and bearskins.
It might be a more pleasant experience than listening to the Shatner Mass album there.
Well, so are you saying, Larry, it's not going to be number one on your gift to your fine wife and you're going in the Nemechek household, you're not going to turn around and say, darling, I've got you the Shatner Claus album. Hurrah.
Not if I want to stay married. No. Yes. I'm going to say that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
That's
okay.
Collective decision. I'm sure it's the collective decision.
Worry, Bill. I'll stay with you.
I'm sure it's available where all fine bizarre albums are, you know, available. Mm. So.
Charity shops.
Okay.
Oh, come off it, Ben.
Right.
Exactly. What would Mike Dooley say? Focus on that positive side of things. Listen, what's happening with respect to Trek? We've had minisodes, we've had episodes, we've got a second series that's coming together. Les Moonves has finally been, he's left. We've got Alex Kurtzman in charge of the series. That could be a complete disaster. Is the prognosis good, Dr. Trek, or is it a case of, oh, I don't know what's going to be happening with the whole franchise?
No. I think not only are things, you know, well and good in building, but there may be something for everyone between... A Discovery is going to be more settled, I believe, and now we've got the, I call it the hashtag Picard show. They've said now the end of 2019, which fits, since they're going to start filming, I think, in April. And I know some people think it's crazy, but I'm very excited to see what the animated series called Lower Decks, how that's going to strike.
Mm.
Now that's going to hit the world, and what that may do for the fans.
Let's face it, the tragic news is that with respect to Netflix, the Star Trek Discovery series is officially the lowest watched Star Trek series ever. Let's just test it in the studio. Scooter and versatile soul Dave Walker, did you see any Star Trek Discovery?
No.
Rory, pointless asking, really, because he's a Star Wars fan, as we've said before. But likewise, Ben and Kira.
Yeah, don't even go there with science stuff.
What about you, Alex? Did you watch it?
Yes, I watched the entire series.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did.
Are you
just
saying that, though?
No, I'm not. I would not say it. I said
that grin.
It took time to actually catch fire. It's worked through a number of areas. If you're interested in glossy, sparkly, bright Trek, then go and check out The Orville, which is a kind of alternate sort of line with lots of Trek alumni in there, which is equally fun. But yeah, I think it's good, and I think it's a shame that we have this situation whereby, yeah, they're looking to develop this franchise, and it's a big year, 2019, for Trek. Would you say that, Larry, or is it a case of no, it'll continue ever onwards?
No. I would say that, and I would just remind everybody there who's got, you know, an open mind, not Ben, that Discovery had a very hard, I think we said this before, had a very hard birth. Had a lot of labor pains going in. So, you know, the show that it wound up being was not the show that it started as.
as far as tone, and I'm thinking that season two will be even more, you know, settled, and will feel even more Trekkish than it did.
Well, we hope so, because, I mean, some of the lines, which I'm sure you'll be privy to as well, in terms of how the showrunners, Gretchen Berg, effectively sort of acts the original showrunner, it was like almost a Machiavellian scheme that was happening there. And, you know, my views of Alex Kurtzman just thought, really, seriously? This is what would Gene Roddenberry say? So, you know, we hope that things work out on that basis. Anyway,
Gretchen weren't the original. It started with Brian and the staff. I mean, the writing staff turned over at least, you know, three times, so... But it's where it is now, so that's what I'm anxious to see.
Exactly. And we'll keep it right. Now, so you'll probably get some bleed through from, obviously, a series of protesting musicians who decided to actually take their William Shatner and exhort them in their own system. So I will actually pass this little tablet over to Ben, and I'm going to ask you to read out, Ben, the question from a recent edition of the Star Trek magazine, which I'm sure...
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, yes, absolutely. Uh-huh. And it's the one entitled Shuttle Solution. So, Ben, if you'd like to deliver Shuttle Solution, please. And it's Gamma Trianguli, in case you're wondering. Gamma Trianguli,
right, okay.
Number of the planets. Off you go, Ben.
Okay, so in the original series episode, The Apple, why did the Enterprise not consider deploying the shuttlecraft to retrieve the landing party from Gamma Trianguli 6?
Yeah, a crucial thing, which I know, certainly, Dave, you have been worried about for the last 50-odd years. Why did they not use the shuttlecraft to rescue the sort of... And that was delivered by which writer?
So that was Andrew Truckle-Canesham in the UK.
There we are. Well done. Who would have thought, Andrew, when you wrote into Star Trek the magazine, that you'd be immortalised on the Midweek Drive? And we'll just sort of find out... So yours, which I thought was an elegant solution, Larry, but would you like to share with the listener and Andrew once again why the Enterprise didn't consider deploying the shuttlecraft to retrieve the landing party from Gamma Trianguli 6?
Well, Gamma Trianguli 6 is the planet involved in the Apple with Vol and his force fields and his protection of his little native people. And I believe, my gosh, it's been a few months, I believe I opined that a power drain is a power drain and that shuttlecraft have power systems and have to get out of the hangar deck and open doors and all of that, and that was just an option that wasn't available. It was just as dead-ended as anything else they would try.
They quite literally could not get out of the garage. That was the thing. No power, no problems, all kinds of difficulties with respect to that.
Someone left a light on it.
No, Val, the computer that controlled the planet, was effectively pulling the Enterprise down.
Ah.
It's a bad... Kieran, just in case you're wondering, amount of security people wearing red shirts, it's carnage in that particular episode. They fall on landmines. They get poison darts at them.
Sounds brilliant.
There's only the late, great Celeste Yarnell, who sadly passed away earlier this year, never mind, as Yeoman Martha Landon, who effectively survives. That's it. Everybody else wearing red, you know, end of.
In red.
Yeah.
That was the famous line from Star Trek, wasn't it? Anyone who wore red typically died.
Well, not a famous line, an observation, really. When you say famous lines, it's Beam Me Up, Scotty, which actually William Shatner never actually said in any stage. So.
Yeah, Dave Walker said it.
That's right.
Dave Walker said it.
There we are.
That makes it iconic enough, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Almost phenomenal.
Yeah, possibly.
Yes, it was the apple that made that legend, I think, and it was off the race.
Alex,
I did want to say, before we get away from this, I want to tell you, since I had the personal experience of recently being across the pond in your fair land, that I did see, speaking of Discovery, at the Destination Star Trek about 2 months ago now, there were actually people, natives, running around in Discovery outfits. There were people talking about Discovery. In fact, we were actually mentioning how when you meet people live and in person, that there's a lot of support and a lot of patience with Discovery. And the people actually admitting in public that they've watched it, they've paid for it, or they've continued to pay and haven't left Netflix over it. But, I mean, a lot of people express support and also support in what it could turn into. So I just wanted to throw that out there, that you didn't have a very ready audience there in your circle, but... There were a lot of Discovery fans
Thank you, Larry, and we appreciate that. And Sonequa Martin Green is an awesome individual, as indeed is the Kelpian and all the other factors are there. It will actually develop and grow. So, you know, we will stick with that and allow, and hopefully Netflix will as well, because they're not paying for the second series. Effectively, that's the other problem. They paid for the first one. They're not going to pay for the second one. It's got to make a profit. Otherwise, problems are going to be you. It's capitalism, Larry. Capitalism gone mad. It's honestly, it's like being run by Ferengi. You know, what can we say here?
Right. Well, there. No, I think the tone will be a lot different. I just think expecting a lot of things to be different and settled and more Trekish. And I think
Larry, we've got Gregory Peck's grandson as Spock. Gregory Peck's exactly. grandson as Spock. That is, I mean, Leonard Nimoy will be proud about that.
Atticus Finch is in the lineage now of the
Exactly so. Now, Kira, yeah. I've got to break this down because I appreciate, you know, we're just names. Gregory Peck was a very famous Hollywood actor. He was in a movie called To Kill a Mockingbird.
I've watched that.
Atticus Finch, hence the rain there. So I don't normally have footnotes on the show, but I felt it was important to make that quite explicit. Very good.
Very academic of you there.
Thank you. It's strange. You might almost think that the radio station was set up in a university. Ben, would you like to put those last two questions before we head off to another part of Los Angeles with Phil Leonis, assuming he picks up? Would you like to put them to Larry Namacek, please?
Yes, Larry, have you enjoyed your 10 following with us today on the show?
As always, that's a very big yes, sir.
Wonderful, and will you join us again sometime in the future?
I'm assuming the future will be in 2019.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
A parallel universe.
Your parallel universes and Star Trek Discovery. I mean, there's a whole new world there. And you know, every time we step through the threshold at the University of Lincoln, it's a parallel universe.
And we should cling on to that.
Hey!
Trek well, everybody. Let's begin.
Around, bed the starving and house the
10:30 a.m. in L.A. can only mean it's time for the Midweek Drive team to welcome their top Californian cultural correspondent, Phil Leonis, back for another segment of Cultural Perspicacity.
So with Larry Namicek, clearly, obviously, from California, Luke Carradine from Cannes, and, of course, Mike Dooley from Mexico, we felt it was important, wouldn't it, of course, from Edinburgh, to welcome Phil back with, of course, a traditional jingle and ident, because he will have missed all three of the William Shatner tunes that we actually played. Did we play three?
No. I did not miss. I did not miss, but I would like to say the traditional jingle should be changed so that it says 10:30. If it's 10:30 in Los Angeles, it means it's 10:44 in Los Angeles. So I want to talk about the Shatner thing real quick before I move to discuss Luke. I've got director's notes today, for crying out loud.
No.
But that Shatner album is horrible, and this it's almost shameful how bad it is. But we know the man has no shame. But this is the thing about it. I'm not coming from a place of Shatner and music are mutually exclusive. His album, Has-Been, was terrific. It was a major achievement. And what made it a major achievement was what a laughingstock Shatner was when it came to music. He had famously topped the list of worst.
He was just trying to burst in there. Don't worry. Carry on, Phil. It's all right. All's well.
Shatner had famously topped the list of worst recordings of all time, and so when he gets together to do Has-Been with some great people, he's truly humbled. So it's an album that shows great vulnerability. He was also at a point in his career where he was humbled and showing vulnerability. And now, unfortunately, his most recent recordings, he's back to being arrogant. He's back to going, oh, people think this is cool. And it comes through. There's no expression, no emotional connection with the audience. So that's my review in a nutshell of putting the Shat in Shatner Christmas or Shatner Mass or whatever it is.
Well, we know who's going to be on Santa's naughty list in the Linus household then. Never mind. So,
You know what was the worst? You know what was the worst about it was that the international online feed of the Midweek Drive during Dr. Trek jumped back at one point to cover the whole part of Shatner again.
And isn't there a message there? Isn't there a message there, Phil?
So William Shatner really has changed everything, hasn't he? But the whole thing was made worthwhile by Will Klingon to that. That exit joke when Larry was signing off was, I mean, all I can say is set phasers on stunning. It was terrific.
Take a bow. The Dave Walker, clearly the bond that you made a year or so ago with Phil over the mods and Paul Weller and so on, it's still there. Fantastic.
Lovely. Fantastic. Hey, you know, it was fascinating, I thought, hearing Luke talk about the Berlinale, the film market there versus the film festival. And I thought I would give you a little hippie with a little historic perspective, because the film market there in Berlin only goes back a couple of decades. Prior to that, it was only a film festival, and there were three major film markets in the world, the first being Cannes. The first in the calendar year being here in America, the American film market. But it was in second place, certainly behind in importance behind the Cannes film market. And the third was called MIFED, and it was in Milan in the fall. And oh man, was that fun. But it had nothing to do with film business that made it fun. And what happened was, the people who run the American film market, thought they wanted to kill off MIFED, because if there could be two markets, then they would make more money. Because all the money that gets spent each year, if it only gets spent at two markets rather than three, that's more money for us. And because it's not enough to want to tell stories in show business, you also have to be really, really greedy. They set out to do that and to kill off MIFED. So they moved their market to the same month as the Milan market, and sure enough, it killed off the Milan market. But what happened, and you love this because it's karma, the organizers of the Berlin Festival said, well, wait a minute, now there's no film market at the beginning of the year. Maybe we should organize one. And sure enough, they did. It was very successful. And now the one that's hanging by a thread is the American film market that moved to the fall, because by fall, all the buyers around the world have spent all their money for the year. So don't we like that? Isn't that a lovely Christmas story about the importance of not being greedy?
In fact, it's almost a B story for My Chinchilla Is Lost in My Christmas Tree. In terms of the way for that, I think it's definitely got a line for that. Who do you wish to speak to, Phil? I mean, you've got, obviously, the fabulous Keira Olsbrook, the sole female in the studio today, but she's coping very well. We say get well soon to Bethany Gulliver, also Eva MacDonald, who I think is working in a store, but she'll be back for tomorrow morning. Rory McGowan, of course, Dave Walker, and Ben Lewis. And Ben, I'm going to share this, actually. Phil, Ben feels as though somehow, is it something he says? Is it some kind of coldness? I think it's fair to say, Ben, you've never felt the warmth of Phil, really, have you?
No, but I've always felt the warmth of Phil. Mm. I just think maybe, perhaps I just don't share the same film passions as him. I don't know.
Oh well,
I'm not a Trekkie. I'm not a Trekkie.
It's Phil. Carry on, Phil.
No, believe me, not being a Trekkie recommends you more than just about anything else. I think it's just proximity to Alex. You just, Alex and I were at that point in our relationship when we bicker like an old married couple. And
oh,
so
no, we don't.
It's just your close proximity.
Anyway,
just
because, Phil, I said it in your birthday card, you know, congratulations, this is your last birthday as a bachelor. I mean, by the by.
So Ben is just our child in a house torn asunder, and he's feeling the...
I mean, a torn family. It's quite Romeo and Juliet, isn't it?
I
have a question for Ben. I mean, isn't Ben from Brighton?
I am from Brighton.
I have a question for you. I assume you'll be going back to Brighton for the holidays?
I will indeed.
Aside from family, I've always been fascinated, because I know London at the holidays. What, when you think of the holidays in Brighton, aside from spending time with family and friends, what do you think of? What are the traditions in Brighton that are that one should explore?
So I wouldn't say necessarily there's a lot of traditions there, because it's not in the same way. But there are lots of things you can do in Brighton over the Christmas period. So especially going out down the seafront, you wouldn't expect it to be nice, because it's obviously winter, so you'd expect stormy seas, things like that. But it can actually make for quite a nice setting. But then also in the town centre, they've got a nice rink they have out every single year in front of the pavilion, which was styled to look a bit like a mosque. It was it's a strange sort of architectural design, sort of where the Green Party based in Brighton, and they have an ice rink in front of there every single year. And it's lit up, and it's lovely at night. I certainly recommend it. But generally, no. I tend to spend a lot of my time in London as well over the Christmas, especially with the Christmas lights, things like that.
Richard Fitzwilliam goes into every single store in London, it would seem.
Every single department sort of store, and he does a little report of all the...
It's amazing.
But I think it's beautiful. I'd certainly recommend it. But it obviously depends what you're after and what you like.
Phil, I'm going to cue you in now to ensure that the baton is passed on for another little cue. That's Q as in C-U-E as opposed to Q-U-E-U-E, which are going to be easily confused, particularly as we have music in the other background.
I know, they love it, don't they?
It's superb. Phil, what you need to talk about, or at least just say these words, please, to Dave Walker, is one of the first topics we actually had is possible discussion topics, which we have been sharing as the progress proceeds, and it's called the scooter phenomenon. So would you like to please say those words, please, Phil Linus?
You want me to say the words, the scooter phenomenon? Phenomena. Phenomena.
No, Dave, it's not William Shatner. It's not Lennon Nimoy either. Thank you for that. As I say, Phil, sometimes you build the entire studio for 1 hour, 45 minutes just to build to that particular line. Thank you, Phil Leonis. It's back to you now for the remaining few moments. I can. My job is done.
Is this the final midweek drive of the year?
No. Next week, it's the all-singing, all-dancing, five-star, five tunes, which you can vote for, plus choir, plus Jason Whittaker, plus more. And then we've got one after that with the return of Tessa Snart as well. So, you know, we're just building to this one.
Oh, well, that's one too many, I think.
Yeah, okay. Carry on. So... Who do you wish to go to for the remaining couple of minutes that we've actually got here, as I will give a shameless plug for Chilpack Hollywood Hour, hashtag 603. Although technically you say number 603, really.
Did you say that Kira's in the studio?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you seem so hesitant. Hello, Kira. Kira, I want to know... I want to know your favorite part of being there in Lincoln at this time of year.
Oh, God. Well, to be honest, it's more the... it's the Christmas market tomorrow, starting tomorrow till Sunday. So that's usually quite cool because they do, like, loads of little quirky shops and stuff. And, yeah, it's quite... that. I think that's, like, the best part, really, of, like, Christmas at Lincoln, to be honest.
You had your first location report last Friday?
Yes. Yeah.
The broadcast.
I want to see photos. Kira, take photos of the Christmas market. I've been fascinated about this Christmas market.
No, it's really
and I want to see pictures. Yeah, I would imagine it's beautiful. I would imagine it's beautiful. So please take pictures of that.
Well, that was an epic making stand thing. So I will go to Dave Walker. Say, Dave, have you enjoyed your return to the Midweek Drive?
Absolutely. As always, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Very good. And a plug, of course, for the new Theatre Royal Lincoln, the pantomime. Are tickets still available?
Tickets are still available from the box office, in person, online, over the phone.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Snow White and the Seven
Just
Dwarfs.
Just sort out New Lincoln Theatre or That's New Theatre Royal Lincoln, and you'll find that there. That's a good box ticks there for the corporate notion of the whole system. Anna Lewis, we thank you. William Coles, we thank you. Mike Dooley, obviously, in Mexico. Yay! Luke Corradine, fantastic. Larry Nemechek, equal. William Shatner, we just thank you for being you, frankly. Obviously... things to be deleted from Phil Leonis's wedding present list, which I had all lined up and ready to go. You know, the compilation of William Shatner sings and indeed his latest autobiography. Never mind. It's a message. Sometimes. Ben, have you enjoyed the programme?
Yeah, it's been lovely. Thank you.
Or would you like to ask those last two questions to Phil, please, Rory?
So, Phil, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
It's been outstanding.
Mm.
Even though he pranked you.
Well,
He pranked you good.
I always feel pranked. By the time he finishes his questions to me, I don't even understand where they began. So I always feel pranked.
Oh, that's good. And will you be joining us again sometime soon?
You know what I would love to get the chance to talk about before the end of the year is the Pasadena Tournament of Roses, a New Year's tradition here, and how, because of that tradition, I once was able to do a documentary with William Shatner. How about that for a tease for next week?
Did he sing the theme tune at the start and start the end of the program? That's what I want to know.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen on Siren Radio next week. Download the podcast. Be there. It's just going to be absolutely awesome. It's been awesome this evening. Phil, are you coming along tomorrow morning? I kind of had you on one running order, you're on tomorrow morning, and then another running order, you're not on tomorrow morning. So it just depends, really. Or indeed
well,
in minutes.
Well, if I'm both on the show and not on the show, if I am basically Schrodinger's contributor,
yes,
then I am both happy and sad for you.
Exactly. Is the cat still functioning? Is it not? Is it Fuzz? Is it Fuzz Aldrin? Is it in the box? Is it outside the box? If you didn't catch the tale of the chinchilla and the awesome, I mean. So you know, you still don't know that chinchilla could still technically be out there having
could
got lost in the Christmas tree.
It could be feral. It could be roaming around someone else's Christmas tree.
In Derbyshire.
In Ilkeston.
In Ilkeston, Derbyshire.
Very slim chance.
Never thought in all the years we've done these particular programmes, a series, that we would have actually wrapped up with the beware, there is a feral chinchilla that's out there. I thought Night of the Lepus with DeForest Kelly, Leonard, DeForest Kelly was an epic, but the chinchilla.
Oh, we can edit on Phenomenon.
We could, but once you've done that, you've done it. Now, I'm just, the news is going to happen, and it will happen. And after the news, we've got a whole heap of other things, including Professor Jason Whittaker discussing Holy Thursday, which is amazing. It's another one of his William Blake series, so that's still to come as far as Siren's concerned. We're back in the morning doing all sorts of other bits and pieces. Remember the Scooter Festival next year, July the 13th. Phil Leonard, would you like to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Can we all say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
FM. FM. Online. Online. Mobile. Mobile. This is Siren Radio. Lincoln.